The title of today's message is The Job Description for Being a Sheep. You know, there are a lot of books about being a shepherd. And I just, at my office, I just grabbed a little chunk of my library. This is John MacArthur's The Book on Leadership. And we have Gene Getz's Elder and Leaders, God's Plan for Leading the Church. The Heart of a Great Pastor by H.B. London Jr. and Neil Wiseman. Gordon MacDonald, A Resilient Life. And I suppose this would apply to anyone, but this really seemed very pastoral to me. Loved that book. John Maxwell, Developing the Leader Within You. The Growing Minister, His Opportunities and Obstacles by Andrew Blackwood. Don Cousins, Leith Anderson, and Arthur De Kruyter wrote Mastering Church Management. And this book by Eugene Stowe is called The Ministry of Shepherding. And from Sam Stone, this is How to Be an Effective Church Leader. I was even looking through CBD. Do you get the CBD catalog? Lots of resources in here about being a church leader. But you know, there aren't very many books out there about how to be a sheep, are there? All these books, and this is just, that's just a drop in the bucket. With all the books about being an effective shepherd and doing what God's called the pastor to do, we don't see books on how to be a sheep. I don't think there's any in here either. At least there wasn't in last month's. In fact, they actually have whole colleges that you go to in order to become a shepherd. And I don't know of any colleges where you go for a 4-year degree in being a sheep. Do you know of any? Like, this is a major at my college, how to be an effective sheep, how to follow the shepherd. Every month at our board meeting, Pastor Bob gives a report on being a shepherd. But you know, we never have that time in the board meeting where the congregation gives a report on being a sheep. I think we ought to do that. Next combined service, we say, okay, now it's your turn to give your report on what kind of a sheep you were this past month. Well, you say, well, it's in Pastor Bob's job description. You know, it's sort of laid out for him what he's supposed to do. But this morning, we're going to look at the truth that the Bible lays out our job description as being sheep following the shepherd. In thinking of the relationship between the sheep and the shepherd, I came across this past week. I want to read it to you. I sort of got a kick out of this. It says, how to get rid of a pastor. I noticed a bunch of people picked up pencils right there. Like, wait, back up, let me get this down. How to get rid of a pastor. Not long ago, a well-meaning group of laymen came from a neighboring church to see me. They wanted me to advise them on some convenient and painless method of getting rid of their pastor. I'm afraid, however, that I wasn't much help to them. At the time, I had not the occasion to give the matter serious thought, but since then, I've pondered the matter a great deal, and the next time anyone comes for advice on how to get rid of the pastor, here's what I'll tell them. Okay, number one, look the pastor straight in the eye while he's preaching and say amen once in a while, and he'll preach himself to death. Two, pat him on the back. Brag on his good points and he'll probably work himself to death. Three, rededicate your life to Christ and ask the preacher for some job to do, preferably some lost people you could win to Christ, and he'll die of heart failure. And then four, get the church to unite in prayer for the preacher. He'll soon become so effective that a larger church will take him off your hands. So let's look this morning. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open up to 1 Thessalonians. We're just going to really look at two verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. And the Apostle Paul writes, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves." So first, before we talk about the sheep's job description, just very quickly, I want to look at the pastor's job description from these verses. First of all, verse 12 says that the pastors labor among you. That's one of the things that pastors do, is pastors work. And they carry out the work of the ministry. Several years ago in Pioneer Club, I had a little girl ask me what my job was. I said, "Well, honey, you know, I'm the associate pastor here at the church." And she wasn't satisfied with that. She said, "No, I want to know what your real job is. Like, this is my real job." No, like, what do you do for money? Like, what do you do when you're not here? And, that was a little deflating. I said, "Sit down and shut up." Which leads me to my second thing here. I did not say that. The second thing here, pastors have authority. Shepherds have authority. He says, "are over you in the Lord." You know, who gives the pastor, who gives the shepherd his authority? Well, God does. And here Paul says, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that the pastor is over you in the Lord, not over you in the flesh, hopefully, meaning that the pastor is just some sort of control freak or power monger, and you have to do what I say because this is what I say. It's being over you in the Lord, that the pastor, the shepherd, is under the authority of God, and the sheep are to find themselves under the authority of the pastor. And the last thing, verse 12, he says, "admonish you." Admonish you. Another thing that pastors do is give instruction. There again, where does the authority come from? Well, the authority comes from the Word of God. When Pastor Bob gets up to preach to you, or I get up to preach to you, it's not, "here's what I say," it's, "this is what God says." And that's the only way we have the authority to admonish anyone, is under the authority of the Lord. And thinking of sheep, one person said this, "We think sheep are cuddly little creatures, because the only ones we ever deal with are stuffed." True or false? But the truth is, real sheep are weak, helpless, unorganized, prone to wander, demanding, dirty, and their hooves are sharp. That's what a real sheep is like. Sheep can make life joyless for the shepherd if they don't follow the path of their duty. They can make life miserable if they're not obedient. Isn't that true about sheep? Well, that's also true about sheep that meet in this building. But sadly, instead of following the job description that we're going to look at in a couple of minutes here, I want to share with you on your outline five options that many sheep choose. If you're taking notes, unfortunately, here's some other options that sheep choose. Number one is this. Some sheep choose to be deaf. Some sheep choose to be deaf. And there are people in all churches, but specifically, let's talk about this church this morning. Isn't that a good idea? We'll talk about this church. And there are some sheep in this church that have chosen to be deaf. And there are some that are doing that right now. There are some that do that now. I'm going to let you in a little secret. Usually, the preacher knows who that is. But what that means is you just tune out. I come every week. I belong to this church. I'm a member. I should show up. But you come and you just tune out. And come Sunday afternoon, what was the sermon about? Oh, I don't know. Bob said something, Bible, something, Jesus, something. And I think he prayed. And you've just tuned out. And that's what some sheep do. Then when they are sort of disenfranchised with the church, it's the preacher's fault. Right? The scapegoat among the sheep. But some sheep just choose to be deaf. Some of you might have already tuned out. I hope not. But some sheep, that's what they do. They just come and they're deaf. They tune out. They're thinking about other things while the word's being proclaimed. They've just tuned the shepherd out. Number two, some sheep choose to be blind. Some sheep choose to be blind. They don't see what's going on in the church or in the community. Again, it's I just show up, I'll see you here next week, it looks like everything's okay. Well, it looks like everything's okay if you're blind. Meaning, what's your involvement in the church? What's your involvement in this church? And some people come, and there might be some people here that I'm really not involved. I just kind of show up. Well, do you know what's going on with the church? No, I really don't know what's going on with the church. Do you know, about them, going to Thailand this summer and building another house in Mexico and day camps coming and the community meals and what we're trying to do to reach out to this community and evangelism and discipleship? No, I really don't see what's going on around here. I just kind of show up and tune out and see you next week. And some sheep choose to do that. They don't know what's going on in this church. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. But some sheep just don't know what's happening in this church. That if you were visiting somewhere and a friend says, hey, what's going on at your church? You might not have anything to tell them. I don't really know what's going on at the church. Some sheep just choose to be blind. Thirdly, some sheep choose to be lame. Some sheep choose to be lame. They see what's going on, but they just don't get involved. Like, yeah, I know what's going on. I know about the mission trips. I know, what's been going on with the building project on Wednesday nights. And I know, there was a thing in the bulletin about, a need for help with day camp. But, that's for somebody else. Somebody else will take care of that. That's what the shepherd's for, right? I'm just a dumb sheep. Somebody else will take care of that. Or there's this one. This is one of my least favorites. When sometimes people say, I did my time. Let somebody else do it. That is anti-progressive thinking. If the church is going to grow and be healthy, that means more laborers for the harvest, right? We're not replacing the workers in the field. We are adding to the workers in the field. But some people, that's their attitude. I taught Sunday school. I was involved in the church, back in the Carter administration. And it's somebody else's turn. Somebody else do the work now. And they've made themselves lame. Yeah, I see what's going on, but I'm just going to sit here. Number four, some sheep choose to act like the shepherd's only sheep. Some sheep demand all the attention and take all of the shepherd's time and energy and hear what I'm saying. We try to meet every need. That's why we're here. We love to do it. I'm not criticizing people for having a need. Okay? I'm not criticizing. Everybody say he's not criticizing. What I am talking about are the people that only take and never give. We have people like that. Whether they're here every week or whether they're here once a quarter, once every 6 months, once a year. It's interesting. I don't keep a written list, but there's a little list in my mind of people that I know I'm going to see once a year. And that once a year when they show up, they demand all my attention right now. They just walk in the office. Where's Jeff at? He's got a service across. Well, I need to see him right now. My name's so-and-so, and you come to church here? Well, yeah, I was there last year, and they show up, and they act like they're the only sheep. Think of how that works on a shepherd who's trying to take care of a flock, but there's one sheep that just comes to the front of the line and says, ignore everyone else. I'm front and center. You take care of me now. Never give, only take. They never give, they only take. They just drain shepherds sometime. And I could tell you some stories. We had a guy a few years ago. Insisted on seeing Pastor Bob. Pastor Bob had another commitment. He was on his way out the door. Wasn't good enough for this guy. He actually crawled on the roof of the office and tried to get in the window. I can't make that up. That's what he did. I'm going to see him now. Like, you can't see him now. Oh, I'll see him now. I'll go all Spider-Man on you and I'll climb the building. And that's what he did. And our shepherd got out his rod and staff for that man. That's a whole other story. So some sheep choose to act like the shepherd's only sheep. It's all about me, all about me, all about me. Drop everything. Number five, some sheep choose to follow a different shepherd. Some sheep choose to follow a different shepherd. I imagine that's an advantage that Barnabas has in Thailand. Like if somebody's mad at their local pastor, it's not like, fine, I'll just go to the church down the street. Yeah, down the street is like 30 miles, okay? Go ahead. That's a bigger commute. And it'd kind of be nice if we were the only church in town, but we're not. In fact, you could walk out the front door and throw a rock and hit, what, probably five different churches with one rock. And if you don't like what the shepherd says here, you say, I'll just go to the church down the street. And that happens. Now, sometimes that needs to happen. If there's false teaching or, you know, something like that, there are biblical reasons why you shouldn't be involved in a church. But as long as the church is striving to exalt Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, as long as the church is striving to preach the truth, there's no reason anybody should leave the church, aside from moving across the country for a job or something. If you have an issue, work it out. But we don't do that in our culture. We have an issue, we'll just move on. And I'll follow a different shepherd now. So let's look at the text here. Just two verses. This is the sheep's job description, presupposing a faithful shepherd, of course. And I believe that Pastor Bob is a faithful shepherd. And because he is, here's what you people need to do. Number one, as a faithful sheep, you must appreciate your shepherd. This all comes from the text. You must appreciate your shepherd. Look again with me at verse 12. We ask you, brothers, to, some Bibles say, appreciate. My Bible says, respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Literally, the Greek word is oida, which means to know. It means to know. What it's literally saying is, we ask you, brothers, to know your shepherd. Now, this word oida doesn't mean like surface knowledge. Like, yeah, I know Pastor Bob. He's about yay tall and has brown hair and wears glasses and, you know, likes to hunt and likes to preach. And yeah, this word know in Greek is deeper. This word know is an intimate knowledge. Like, when you know someone, like, I know what that guy's about, and I know what that guy stands for, and I know where his hurts are and where his victories are. That's what this is saying about you sheep. You must know your shepherd. Deep knowledge that includes respect and appreciation, the other words that are translated here. You know, truth be told, it's easy to criticize your pastor when you don't know him. Isn't that true? If you don't know Bob, it'd be real easy to criticize him. I didn't like the way he said this. I didn't like how long he preached. And why did he do this? And why did he add this into the service? And, you know, why didn't he do this? If you don't know Bob, it'd be real easy to criticize him. But when you know his heart, and you know his struggles, and you see the way that God is working through him, you come to appreciate the man. Can you think of a time that you were wrong about someone until you got to know them? Can you think of a time like that? That's happened to me like so many times. I lost track. Like, I think I have somebody pegged, like, huh. And then you get to know the person. You're like, well, I was wrong about that person. They're not like how I thought they were at all. Has that ever happened to anybody else? Okay, well, that's true with the shepherd too. Sometimes the shepherd gets up here and you have a preconceived notion about him because you don't really know him. And then when you get to know him, you learn to respect and appreciate him. I've had a few people in this church that I've talked with about Pastor Bob that said that he was the scariest person that they ever met. Now, Pastor Bob's not in the room. No, I don't think he is. How many people think Pastor Bob's the scariest person you've ever met? See, you're so scared you won't even raise your hand, see? Look, some of you people have told me that. Well, when you get to know him, he's not that scary. A little bit. Not too bad. But maybe that's why sometimes I feel like I appreciate Bob more than most people. And respect him more than a lot of people because I feel like I know him more than most people. You know, I have the blessing of, you know, having an office like 8 feet away from his and, you know, talking to him through the week and doing ministry with him. I feel like I have an advantage there, so I know him. And to know him is to appreciate him. And this is what God calls you to do as sheep. He says, respect, to appreciate, to know the people who labor among you. Just real quickly, I have to insert this because we never do. But this connection involves financial support. If you look at the context here, verses 3 through 16, and then 1 Timothy 5:17. The context in both of these passages talk about money. I have 1 Timothy 5:17 on your outline. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor. The context is money. Especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. Now, see, we don't often talk about that. This church does take care of Bob and I. But we're, I guess by our personalities, we're not very apt to preach on a passage like this because we don't want people to think we have false motives. But really, the only motivation I have here this morning is this is what the Word of God says. You have a pastor who's being faithful to teach and preach among you. You should take care of him financially. That wasn't my idea or Bob's idea or the church's board's idea. That was God's idea. It's a sticking point for some people. I had a guy one time, actually a guy that I wrestled with. We were talking about the church, and he was telling me all the reasons he doesn't go to church. Well, here's one that he had. He said, you know, here's what I figured, that if 11 people tithe, that means that pastor's already made more than the average person. And I'm like, I'm not really that good at math. Does that math even work? Does that sound right? Well, that's also presupposing that when you tithe, all the money just goes right into Bob's pocket. Right? That's what happens. When the offering plates go by, Bob just opens up his pocket. Is that what happens? Of course not. There's missionaries that are supported, and this mission right here is supported to pay everything from the utilities to the custodial staff. Well, if you have a problem with the pastor's salary, then your problem's with God because he said to pay the preacher so that the preacher can be dedicated to preaching. Okay, so we're not asking for a raise or this isn't an appeal. This is just saying this is what the Bible says. You should take care of your pastor. Number two, as a faithful sheep, verse 13, you must esteem your shepherd. You must esteem your shepherd. Look at the first part of verse 13. Paul says, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. This is sort of like the previous, but it's a little different. The Greek word for esteem, hegiomai, literally means to regard or to think. That's what this word means in the Greek. It means you should think highly of your pastor. Sheep, you should think highly of your shepherd. It says to esteem them very highly. Actually, in the Greek, it literally means beyond measure. Like, what kind of thought should you have? You should esteem them off the charts, literally, is what this means. You should have the highest thoughts for your shepherd. We're not talking about worship. We're not talking about reverence. We're talking about biblical esteem here for the one who brings the Word of God to you. Next, he says that we should esteem them very highly in what? What's your Bible say? Esteem them in love. Now, this word, you know, there's different words for love in the Greek. This is agape. This is the self-sacrificing service love. That's the kind of love that he's talking about here. So why should you think highly of your pastor? Not because he's done you favors. Well, I think really highly of Bob because I was going through this hard time and he really ministered to me. Yeah, that should help, but that really isn't even the main reason that you should think highly of him. You shouldn't think highly of your shepherd because of his personality. Like, I like Bob. I think he's funny. We have good chats together and serious chats together and we laugh together, but that's not why I should think highly of Bob. What does the Bible say? Why should we think highly of the shepherd? Because of their what? Because of their work. Because of their work. Bob's been set aside by God to minister the Word of God. Think about that. God said at one point, Huber, any other plans you have for your life are done. I'm setting you aside to do this work. You're going to speak to the people on my behalf. And because of that position that he holds, because of the work that he does, we should think highly of him. I have in your outline Galatians 4, look at these verses. Paul says, you know that it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first, and though my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn or despise me, but received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. What then has become of the blessing you felt? He said, for I testify to you that if possible, you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. I'm not going to go into this in great detail, but Paul, when he showed up in the southern Galatia region, apparently he had some kind of very nasty visible sickness that most people would have been like, dude, I can't even look at that. You know, like watching surgeries on those channels. Do you ever see those channels that they're doing the surgeries on people? You're like, I can't even watch that. Well, Paul had something going on. He said that you didn't reject me because of that, but because I came preaching the Word of God, you received me. He says, you received me like I was an angel from God himself. You received me as if I was Jesus Christ himself. Why? Because of the work that he was doing. Because of the message that he was bringing. That's how you received me, Paul said. But here I want you to see the agape love. Paul says, I knew that you loved me because of what I was doing. I don't think he was there long enough at this point when he's recounting this story for his personality to have won them. He says, but you love me so much you would have ripped your eyes out of your head and given them to me. That's why some people think Paul had some problems with his eyes. Maybe he had some kind of a gross eye thing going on. People couldn't look him in the eye when they were talking to him. But Paul says, that really wasn't the case with you. You would have ripped your eyes out and given them to me. That's how much you loved me. So as a faithful sheep, you have to think highly of your shepherd. Did I ever tell you one time I almost got arrested for intent to murder somebody? That's true. I was a magazine vendor for Walmart and Kmart, and I went into the store and was doing my job, and, well, two police officers came up to me, and they asked who I was, and they asked if I was there to hurt anybody. I said, no, just stalking the magazines. And I thought it was a joke. I thought maybe one of my friends put them up to it, but I was kind of laughing it off, but they were serious. And, the one police officer went to one of the managers of Walmart, and they're like, do you know Jeffrey Miller? He says that he works here. And she was like, no, name doesn't ring a bell. Like, what are you doing to me? And they're like, no, the magazine vendors. Oh, yeah, Jeff, yeah, we know him. And the police officer said, do you think that he'd ever try to hurt someone? And she goes, no, he's a pastor. And the police officer said, that might mean something to some people. Like, it should. You're like, okay, what happened? Well, I figured out what happened later. I was eating Spree. You know what Spree are? The delicious candy that comes in the foil tube? Well, I don't like to rip. I like to slide them out so I don't have little pieces of paper everywhere. And, well, I had the roll half eaten, so there was like half Spree, half silver wrapper. And when I went into the store, I folded it up and put it in my pocket so they didn't think I like took it off the shelf. Well, I think somebody thought I had a switchblade because it was dark and late at night, and apparently there's nothing else going on at Chillicothe, Ohio at that time of the day that they're trying to track down people that would murder people with delicious candy. So, but my point is this. The police officer said, that might mean something to some people. The implication is, that doesn't mean squat to me. Well, it should mean something to people that you think highly of the pastor because of his job. The Bible says that the shepherd is dedicated to speaking for God. The shepherd is entrusted with the gospel. The shepherd is overseeing souls. By virtue of that job description, We should really think highly of Pastor Bob. When we hear that someone's in the military, or someone is a police officer, maybe not in Chillicothe, or somebody is a doctor, don't we automatically think highly of them? We meet somebody for the first time. Hey, what do you do? I'm a Marine. Automatically, their esteem goes up like 12 notches in our minds, right? We esteem them automatically. It's like that with certain jobs. Because when you think of what the job requires, you have instant respect, right? Instant respect when you hear what somebody does and what their job requires. Like I told you, I was a magazine vendor. You know, people have asked what jobs I've had and stuff, and I tell them that. I've never had anybody ask me, like, oh, tell me your favorite magazine story. Oh, we want to know about this. Was it ever dangerous? Or, you know, no, it was just, you know, I worked third shift, and I, you know, People Magazine, Good Housekeeping. Nobody cares that I did that. Why? It wasn't a respectable job. Actually, most of those magazines weren't worth the paper they were printed on, but that's another sermon. But the issue is, you know, the pastor's doing an eternal work. You know that? When Pastor Bob's preaching, sharing the gospel with someone, sitting in his office counseling someone, that is an eternal work, is it not? To minister the word of the eternal God? Just by virtue of that job description, we should think highly of them. John 13:20, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Jesus said, if you receive your shepherd, you're receiving the good shepherd. Is that true? If you receive Pastor Bob, Jesus said, there's an essence there, a real, true essence where you're receiving Christ himself. So as we think highly, what we need to do is seek your shepherd's best. You should be seeking the best for Pastor Bob. You should overlook weaknesses. We're not talking about overlooking sin. That's a different category. Overlooking weaknesses. We all have them. But for some reason, when the pastor's front and center, his become a bullseye. We should overlook weaknesses. We should speak well of our pastor. You should only speak well of him. We should encourage our pastor. Sometimes all the pastor hears, all the shepherd hears, is whiny sheep. You should speak well of. And then finally, as a faithful sheep, you must submit to your shepherd. You must submit to your shepherd. Last part of verse 13. He says, be at peace among yourselves. That's sort of cover to cover in the New Testament. Be at peace among yourselves. Well, the context here, who's he talking about? He's talking about the relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. That's the context. That's what he's saying. He wasn't just throwing out some random thought here. He says, sheep, as you relate to your shepherd, you guys should be at peace among yourselves. There's nothing more painful for a pastor than discord in the church. Nothing more painful. Like I said, I've been working with Pastor Bob now here for almost 11 years. In general, about 15. I've never heard Bob, you know, really upset or grieving because a song didn't go off right or, you know, one pew wasn't vacuumed right. I've never heard Bob upset about those things. But you know what is upsetting to Pastor Bob and every shepherd is when there's discord in the church. That weighs on you. Because for some people, they leave church and they leave the church people behind and it's business as usual. But you know what? When the shepherd goes home, what's he still thinking about? He's still thinking about the sheep, isn't he? So nothing can be more painful than when there's fighting in the church. So submit to your pastor. No strife, eliminate conflict. Look at Hebrews 13:17 on your outline. The Hebrew writer says, obey your leaders and submit to them. Why should we? For they are keeping watch over your souls. Is this serious? He says, as those who will have to give an account. Yeah, this is serious. Someday your shepherd's going to stand before God and have to give an account of how he was overseeing your souls. Not how he ran the church, not how he structured the worship. Overseeing your eternal souls. Is that serious? Yeah, that's serious. Look at the next admonition here. He says, let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So as long as the shepherd isn't asking you to sin, you should submit and obey. I'll be honest with you, I haven't always agreed with everything that goes on here. Oh, shocker. There have been times that a decision's been made by the board or by the elders, and I'm like, I'm really not crazy about that idea. There have been times flat out that I'm like, I don't like that idea at all. But for me, I always have to go back to, what's my job description? My job is to submit to the shepherd, just like your job. Even if I don't like it, there have been times that I've been asked to carry on an assignment that I haven't really been fired up about. I'm like, hey, I'm here to assist Pastor Bob. I'm the associate. I'm here to do what he tells me to do. So, you know, change your attitude, really, is what I need to do. You might say to yourself, well, what if they're wrong? Well, you need to obey and submit to them anyways. They have to give an account, right? If you don't agree with it, like I said, as long as it's not sin, if you don't agree with what's going on, you need to obey and submit anyways. They have to give the account. Pastor Bob has to give an account. So this is sobering enough as it is, but to add strife on top of it, what did the Hebrew writer say? He says, let them carry out their ministry with joy, not with groaning. He says, that's of no advantage to you. What are you going to get out of it? If you're making the shepherd's life miserable, what are you going to get out of it? It's going to come back on you, isn't it? It's bad for him and it's bad for you. I want you to think back of your last conversation with Pastor Bob. Can you think of it? When was the last time you talked to him? Can you think of what you talked about? And I want to ask you, if you can really be honest with yourself, now this is really hard, but I want you to think, when I got done talking with Pastor Bob, did he walk away encouraged? Or did he walk away gone, ugh, another fire to put out, another person not happy, another person disappointed, another person that made me feel like I let them down? How did you make him feel? Sometimes we do have to, you know, lovingly take care of business, but we need to encourage our shepherd. Submit to him. Do you want a miserable church? Do you want a miserable church? We'll just make your pastor miserable and you'll have one. But when the shepherd does his job and the sheep do their job, what kind of church are you going to get? A church that glorifies God, blesses the pastor, but ultimately it's going to be a blessing to you as you're walking in the Lord together. So today, as I close, today's your performance review. Ask yourself, how are you doing in these categories? Are you seeking to know and to appreciate your shepherd? Are you thinking highly of your shepherd because of the job that God's called him to? And then are you submitting to your shepherd? Saying, God called him to do this, therefore, God called me to submit. See, the Bible says that the shepherd's going to have to give an account. Well, you're going to have to give an account too. He'll give an account for how he was a shepherd to the sheep. You're going to give an account as sheep to how you followed the shepherd. Will you bow your heads in prayer with me, please? Our Father in heaven, as we leave this service, we thank you for the ministry that you've called us to. And Father, you know my intention, that this isn't an opportunity to vent about anything. Because God, you know that Pastor Bob and myself, we love these people. We only want what's best for this church and for the people in this church and the families in this church. But God, ultimately, you know that what we want most is to glorify the name of Jesus Christ above all things. And your word tells us that we do that by being a healthy church. So, Father, today we just wanted to look at what the Bible says sheep are supposed to do in relation to their shepherd. I pray, God, that we'd take this with us. And maybe there are some sheep here that realize they have been deaf or blind or lame, or thinking about following another shepherd, or thinking that they're the only sheep in the flock and only taking and never giving. I just pray, God, this would be a time of repentance, that we'd get back to this, to realize that, God, You have established positions and authorities in all things through the government and in the family, but that's also true in the church. And that we'd get on Your program and realize that our job is to follow You, and one of the ways that we follow You is to follow the one that You put in authority over us. Help us to not make this a light thing, but to think higher than we should. We certainly don't worship the shepherd. We worship the good shepherd. Father, I pray that You'd give us a godly submission and respect for the shepherd that You put over this flock. It's all unto Your glory and honor and praise, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.